Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image.
I'll ask Pastor Mike if he'll come on up because I'm going to let you do most of the talking today. But I just kind of want to get this thing started by reminding us of where it is we have recently been and where it is that we are going. Remember that we just came through a 2-week fast of everyone in the church because we have discovered that we had a spirit of deafness, that the strong man in the house was a spirit of deafness. And so we did a teaching on fasting and how to fast and what fasting is about and what fasting accomplishes. And so we went through a 2-week fast. And then once we felt like that we had accomplished what needed to be accomplished there, we started going back and trying to make sure that we understood some of the fundamentals. And so we talked about the cross. And I did a sermon entitled Nothing But the Blood, and we talked about the cross and the essence of the cross and that the cross is what it's all about. And then Pastor Mike spoke on walking in the Spirit. And then last week is amazing. What did we talk about last week? Whatever the subject was last week. Thank you very much, Anna. Faith, foolishness, and the future. I turned around last week, and you would think I remembered after what I'm about to say, but faith, foolishness, and the future, that I felt like that was such an important message that I made a copy for everybody that I could think of who wasn't here and mailed it to their houses. And in fact, I did that on my own dime. I bought the postage, I bought the CD, I bought the cases for them to go in, the labels, everything to be able to send them out because church didn't have the money to do it, and I felt like it was a message that everyone needed to hear. And so the next logical step, this is what we're doing is the last Bible study that Pastor Mike had before we stopped doing them was on this particular subject of spiritual authority. And I think that spiritual authority is one of those subjects. That even the best looking of Christians can get tripped up on. You see, we have a tendency to take Mrs. Jones here, and we've been around Mrs. Jones for a year or 5 years or 15 years or 20 years or whatever. And Mrs. Jones has always been this sort of constant that we all thought we knew Mrs. Jones. Then all of a sudden, a little bit of, or even a whole lot of pressure can come in Mrs. Jones's life. And all of a sudden she reacts or she responds in a way that none of us had anticipated. And we're all surprised because, oh, I thought I knew Mrs. Jones. But this person who's responding, reacting, doing whatever it is they're doing, this is not the person that I thought they were. But you see, when you squeeze an orange, you don't get apple juice. You get orange juice. If you want apple juice, you got to squeeze an apple. You want pineapple juice, you gotta squeeze pineapple. Okay? What we are squirts out when we're under pressure. Selah. What we are is what squirts out when we're under pressure. See? And no matter what our conceptions are of what people are or are not, the real juice comes out when the pressure is applied. If you'll notice on your bulletins today, I did not coordinate this, it just all of a sudden came together in my mind. I just read this last week and thought it was great and used it for the post. Oswald Chambers says the degree of panic is the degree of the lack of personal spiritual experience with God. That's true. That's true. The degree of panic is the degree of lack of personal, not I've seen God work in Mike's life, or I've heard about God helping somebody else, but a personal experience with God. You follow what I'm saying? And so, lots of times we can have people that we think of and we look up to because of their particular spiritualness, which is nothing, I'm not being ugly about that. I'm just saying that there are certain people we look up to because of a certain amount of spiritualness that on the subject, though, of spiritual authority, it's almost like a clipping in football, okay? Or it's like a horse collar in football where they grab the back of the jersey here and pull somebody down backwards. It is the subject that seems to be the subject that trips more spiritually minded people up than any other subject. And yet, I felt that it was important that we discuss it because beyond the blood and walking in the Spirit, which both have to do with our relationship with Jesus, spiritual authority has to do with our relationship with Jesus also, but it also has to do with our relationship with each other. And it is a very difficult concept and a very difficult thing for us as Americans to understand because we're taught since we were children that we don't have to do what anybody tells us to do. Okay? And culturally, in the society in which we live, we try to see how much we can get away with. And that smacks in the face of what the kingdom of God is all about. And so I felt like it was important for us to talk about spiritual authority. I want to share one more thing then, and then I'll let you do it the way you did if you want to a Bible study, and we'll go from there. This week, I went to see a movie that's out right now in theaters. It's got Matt Damon in it, the guy that played in Born Identity. And the movie's called The Adjustment Bureau. Anybody seen the trailers for The Adjustment Bureau? Mm-hmm. What this is about a guy, Matt Damon, who runs for senator from New York. And he loses the election. Well, he wasn't supposed to lose the election. And so these guys that supposedly do not exist, they're a part of what's called the Adjustment Bureau, they start coming into Matt Damon's life to readjust situations in the world so that Matt Damon can win because he was supposed to have won. And basically what the movie is about, it's about the conflict between faith and chance. That's what it's about. It's an exceptionally good movie. These guys, they don't refer to themselves as angels, but that's basically what they are. They never use the word God. They use the word chairman sentence. But the overall concept that there is someone bigger than us watching us and working in our lives to move us in the direction we're supposed to be moving in, it's a very interesting theme in this movie. But what the point I wanted to drive at this morning was this. They keep talking about we can't let the wrong thing happen because of the ripples. And I'm sitting in that movie theater going, And the Adjustment Bureau keeps showing up trying to fix things. The angels are at work in the world fixing things to move things in the right direction because when things don't move in the right direction, well, when they do move in the right direction, there are ripples. And when they don't move in the right direction, there are ripples. And I'm saying all of that to say, that's exactly what spiritual authority is about. Spiritual authority is about causing the right kind of ripples. It's also about having spiritual covering so that we don't do the wrong thing and create bigger ripples that go on and on and on and on. It's like knocking over the first domino, and all of a sudden all the dominoes start falling over. When we are moving in the right direction, the dominoes will fall our way. When we're moving in the wrong direction, the dominoes fall against us. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. But that is a spiritual principle. It is the principle of sowing and reap it. But our problem is we're too impatient to wait on God to step in and do and fix it. We want to fix it for God. And what Pastor Mike's going to teach us is that the reason why we do that is because we don't trust. Okay? It may be awful here.
The thing is, he was talking that I was thinking about is that, you know, it's easy to get excited about praise and worship. It's easy to get excited about faith. It's easy to get excited about healing. It's easy to get excited about principles in the Word that we know and we get happening in our life. But the principle of understanding spiritual authority is not something most people get excited about. And I can think back to where, for 5 years, I spent in a faith church where I was founded and grounded in the Word of God, where I was grounded and founded about the Holy Spirit, grounded and founded about giving, grounded and founded about life as a Christian, but not about spiritual authority. And then I left that situation and moved to Spindle, North Carolina, to sit under a pastor who was strong about relationships, strong about spiritual authority. And my first reaction to it was, oh Lord, he's going to put me under bondage. You know, this is bondage. This is that ultimate stuff. Remember when there was a wave in the church, y'all may or may not remember, when there was a wave in the church where there was extreme discipleship.
Right.
The discipleship movement happened, and a lot of people got messed up with that. You know, them telling me what I will and won't do, and how I will and won't live, and, you know, they'll take my credit cards and pay my bills and take the note of my house and all this kind of stuff. And I think most of what was going on was not that stuff, but that was what people who didn't like what was happening were saying about it all. But anyway, make a long story short. When I started to serve under a pastor who understood spiritual authority and began to put those principles in my life, the number one thing he did was for 5 years in a row, I went to the Good Doctor Basis Principles of Life Conference. And I'll never forget, and I thought my handwriting is so poor, and I can't draw things, it's just not my gift. But I'll never forget that picture of that umbrella. And there was an umbrella that there's a covering, and that under the umbrella there is protection.
Right.
Under the umbrella there is what we need in order to be able to walk this life and from point A to the places that God has for us as Christians, that we walk under this umbrella of protection. And the truth of the matter is, under this umbrella of protection, nothing can touch you. Nothing can bother you. Nothing can hinder you. Because when you're protected by the umbrella of God, you're protected. And it's a freeing place to be. It's not bondage, it's freedom. It's an exciting place to be. It's a comforting place to be. It's a satisfying place to be. It's because you know that when you're under authority and you're protected and you're submitted and you're flowing, then when things come in and go out that are not necessarily right and you're protected, you're covered. And when you hear from God and you go to your authority and you say, this is what I've heard, and they say, not now. Or they say, let's put that on the shelf for a while. Or they'll say, you absolutely had pizza last night and you've heard something other than what God says. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, and then you submit that. So, well, my authority don't agree, then I'm just going to submit it and flow. Then you find a place instead of saying, well, you know, I wanted to do that. But you go, okay, Lord, you know, I submit it. And if my authority says no, I'm not going to worry about it. And there's protection. And then also, if you come to your authority and say, man, I've heard from God about something. This is what I heard. And you tell your authority and they say, that's God. Then you're protected. And if you miss God, because God is a God of authority, if your authority says okay, the responsibility goes from you to the one who said, go for it. What a place of protection.
Right.
You can actually miss it and not be held accountable for it. I know that's kind of far extreme, but it's the truth. The truth. It's the truth. And it's an exciting thing. It's an exciting place to be because you understand when you're rightly submitted to authority, you're covered. You're protected. There's security. There's safety. Let's look at the notes. Now these are notes that I put together, a long time ago and found them and then shared them on that Wednesday evening. The pastor just happened to be here and we talked about it. He's been asking me to share on spiritual authority since I've been coming here and I just couldn't get any peace about it. I didn't have any direction. And then I found these and it all changed. But the first thing that we must understand is that all authority has its source in God.
Amen.
All authority is ordained of God. All authority, just and unjust. All authority is ordained of God. If we can get that, we're covered. If we can get that as revelation inside of us, then we are in a place of protection that even if they're unjust to us, that they're going to have to answer to a greater authority.
That's right.
And our place is, can we trust God is God? Can we trust that He has ordained all authority? Now these are the scriptures, from what I understand, so I don't have to look up here. So these are the scriptures. In Romans 13, 1 through 5, let's read this. Number 1, let every soul be subject unto higher powers. Now does that exclude anybody? Does it say, let everybody except those that are of Lifelike Church? Or let everybody except those that just do a little bit differently? No, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. It's either true or it's not true. If it's not true, let's shut the book, let's walk away and forget it. I choose to believe and know that it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. And there's a reason why we are here this morning, and there's a reason why we're the ones hearing this. Whether we've got it already or not, maybe God wants to pump it up on the inside of us so it'll spill out an example unto others, and they'll get it by osmosis or however it gets there. But this would be something we could be excited about. He said, whosoever therefore resists power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. What that simply saying is, when you resist your authorities, when you resist your covering, you resist the ordinance of God. When we resist authority, if you're in school, when you resist your teachers, if you're in home, when you resist, if you resist the father, or the husband, or the mother, however the authority structure is, in church, the pastor, the bishop, and the flow down of authority there, when you're at work, the boss, the CEO, the vice president, the officers, coming down to supervisors, leads, whatever. When we resist authority, we resist the ordinance of God. If we can get that, that's all we need in order to have success. Not all, but it's a big part of it. In order to walk in success, is that we do not resist the authorities that God's placed in our life. And that comes down, we'll see this, let me keep reading because I won't get through it. He said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Simply saying is, submit to authority and watch God. Submit to authority and watch God. He's bigger. And there comes a place where we understand that, rest in that, believe in that, no matter what's happening, stand on it. If the authority comes and says, you know what, you don't have a job here anymore, then you submit to the authority, walk away knowing that they are not the ultimate authority. There is one who is greater. When people come and say, I wouldn't submit to that pastor, I wouldn't submit to that husband, I wouldn't submit to that situation, then you go and you submit. If God's called you there, you submit knowing that God is bigger. Because when we know God is bigger, it releases the power of God on their behalf. And when you know that God is bigger, God is greater, God is better, God is more powerful, then when I understand, even if my authority misses it, that God's bigger, I can trust that God's bigger than He is, and God can do in Him what needs to be done, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I know, regardless of what I feel, God is greater. And there's freedom in that. There's liberty in that. It's not, what is the word? It's not bondage. It's freedom. For He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For He beareth not the sword in vain, for He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must need be subject, not only for wrath, but all for conscience sake. Many people will, this is off the scriptures. Many people will show and give respect to their pastor, but not their boss, not their parents, not police officers, not the manager of a store, etc. There is no distinction. All authority is ordained of God. You just get that. Say that with me. All authority is ordained of God. One more time. All authority is ordained of God. And one thing we need to understand, when we begin to walk in revelation of that, usually there's a challenge. So when you walk out of here, get ready. We either say that, believe it, or are willing to stand by it, or we'll say that, think about it, walk out of here, get challenged, and show that what's on the inside of us is just mere assent knowledge, and it's not heart foundation. Does that make sense? Because there will come a challenge. Because the Word says that the enemy immediately comes to steal the Word and see if he can get that seed of the Word out of us so that we can't walk in the fruition of what that seed was there provided to do. So if we understand that all authority is ordained of God, that means we're probably going to run into some situations where we're going to have to deal with some authorities, and we're going to have to decide, well, God, if all authority is ordained of God, then why am I in this situation? Well, I'm being trusted to see if I trust you. I'm being tested to see if I trust you. And I'm going to choose to submit, right, wrong, or indifferent, and go with the flow and believe you beyond what I think, beyond what I feel, beyond what maybe even I know. Because I'm going to trust that all authority is within the God. Because there's some unjust authority out there. And we say this in here, and maybe toward the end on there where it says, when we do this, it is obvious that we do not understand authority. Authority may wear many different faces and carry different titles, but it is still authority, and all authority is ordained of God. The Bible says, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love the brother whom you have seen? In like manner, how can we say that we are submitted and obedient to delegated authority or people whom we have seen? For, let's see, this page 2 here. Since God, it's on the back of that one, who is perfect, spotless, and flawless, is willing to invest and trust his authority in other delegated authorities, then why can't we trust them? Answer, because we ultimately don't trust God, or we don't believe that he's capable of taking care of us, or even wants to take care of us. Our trust is supposed to be in God, not man. There have been incidences in my life when I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand what was happening. But I took these principles and I said, God, I'm going to trust you beyond what I'm experiencing. I'm going to trust you. And not one time did God ever disappoint me. I have disappointed me. People have disappointed me. But I'm telling you, when you trust God, and you trust that all authority is delegated by God, is ordained of God, and you trust Him in a situation that's uncomfortable, in a situation, I don't mean, I'm not talking about unlawful I'm not talking about sinful. I'm not talking about ungodly. I'm not talking about asking you to do something that's immoral or, you know. But understanding, even if they are ungodly, as long as they're not asking you something unlawful or immoral, you submit. I remember a situation when my parents were in the church, and there was a section in the church rising up against the pastor. And it was a generation of people who didn't want the church to come into a place that would appeal to younger people. Because there was a difference in the music. There was a difference in dress. There was a difference in style. There was a difference in the delivery of the word. There was a difference in a lot of things. And we're talking about a church that was running about 700 people. And as they were moving forward in progressive worship, in progressive teaching, in progressive church, there was an immediate influx of younger families, of just a lot of people who were not the age of the people who were in power in the church. And so this group of people were rising up against this pastor. In the middle of this, my little brother had been diagnosed with a brain tumor and was dying. And the week that my brother died, the sect of these people who were against the pastor left the church. At this point, the church was running about 1,000 people. And there were about 500 people that left. And it was the week my brother died. And my parents were of the age group of the section of people that left. And my mother called me. And she said, well, actually she didn't have to call me. I was there, because I was there when my brother died. But before he died, and they knew this was happening, she had called me before I was there and said, what do we do? And I asked her, I said, has your pastor done anything unlawful? And she said, no. I said, has your pastor done anything immoral? She said, no. I said, tread lightly. She said, but we don't agree. I said, did God ever ask you that everything he's done was based upon your agreement? She said, no. I said, Mama, if the man's done nothing immoral and the man's done nothing unlawful, you better tread lightly. I said, if you cannot submit to him as a pastor, find you a pastor. Of course, in her generations, you didn't submit to a pastor, you submitted to a church. And there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, the week my brother died, the church split. There were about 1,500 people that showed up for his funeral. He was well known. He was well loved. And the pastor that this section of people didn't like was there when my brother died. He was a part of what we were going through as a family. Now, there wasn't a lot of big conversation. He was not a real personable person. So there wasn't a lot of conversation with him. He'd come in, pray with my brother, and leave. Pray with my parents, and leave. And that's just the way he did. But the man, I mean, the man would walk into parties, and people would get saved. He was a true evangelist. There was something, he was anointed to, and young people just gathered around him and listened to him. Now he has a church that's run back about 1,200, that's full of young people, that's got a great life ahead. But anyway, in the midst of all this was going on. And I'll never forget them asking me, what do we do? And I said, if it's not unlawful, if it's not immoral, you better submit and go with quote. I said, until the day you cannot submit, you stay right there. If there comes a day that you cannot submit, and you can't flow, and you can't keep your mouth shut, then you need to leave. But you need to understand something. You're going to go from one thing right back into another. Because until you get this lesson learned and learn how to submit to authority, whether you agree with them or not, especially if you don't, you keep going around that mountain. Going around that mountain. And so they stayed there for a long time. And in the midst of that, they lost all their friends. 30 years with friends. They lost all their friends. and they lost a son. And it's been a devastating 2 years beyond that for them. But I look back now and I think of the history of that particular church. And there are probably 5 churches that started in my lifetime from that church based on that same group of people who will not submit to a body. And isn't it interesting, this is the title, but isn't it interesting that men and women who cannot hold positions of authority in the world are the very ones who vie and politic and get authority in a church? In a lot of denominations, that's it. And they're the very ones that keep a church all in the floor. That's just not for me. Let's go back to notes. Psalms 33:21-22. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Once we begin to see and understand authority, then it is not a matter of who the person is or what their position or title is. Here it is. We must see. We've got to look for the bigger picture. The big picture. That's when I think about this umbrella that Bill Gothard taught about, this umbrella of protection, that ultimately we need to understand that there is a bigger picture than where we are. There's a bigger picture than what's going on in here today. And do we trust God, or do we look at empty seats and start pointing fingers and start making assumptions? Or do we let it affect us? Or do we trust that God is even bigger? Because I'm telling you, who all was not here last week? Okay, a couple weeks ago, I was praying about this church. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, do you trust me? And my first thought is, well, if he had to ask me that, then the evidence is I don't. Because God don't ask you a question that he needs the answer to. He asks you a question because you need to search your heart. So I began to search my heart. God, do I trust you? Do I trust you? I said, oh, I think I did. He said, don't be moved. Okay. Don't be moved by what you see in the natural. And then he spoke this. He said, the vision that this man had of seeing, being face to face with God, the vision is something that God wants to do in this place. And there's going to have to be some doubt and disbelief removed in order for that to happen. And let me tell you, when that happens, we can't build a little vision of the whole people in the church. And it won't be because he preached right, because we sang right, because I taught right, because we dressed right, or because we did the walls right, or because we did the pipe right, or because we did the lights right, or because we did the music soft enough or loud enough. It'll be because God showed up. Right. And a vision for God to show up, this is prophetic, a vision for God to show up will scatter down this belief. But when God shows up, you can't build a building big enough to hold the people that come. The question is, do we trust in a bigger authority? Is our hope and our faith in what people do? And faces being in front of us. It hurts not to see some people in here. John, we can't be moved by people. The Lord says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, that he'll show up in the midst of them to see what's going on. And he said, and if they'll bring up on something, they'll say, I'll move heaven and hell and live in that. That's a paraphrase for this truth. I'll move heaven and hell and live in that. Then on the good man, that's pretty good. It all has to do with authority. Okay, where did I forget? Where did I stop? Once again, okay, the big picture. If you're waiting for God to always speak to you directly, then you'll miss a great deal of what God is trying to say to you. Because he speaks to us through the people that he's put in our lives. And it may be that there's an attitude that needs to be dealt with. It may be that there's some doubt and disbelief that has to come out. But if we'll trust God and trust the authority that is placed in our life with anticipation, zeal, and excitement. It's easy for me because I am an excitable person. I am an anxious. I get excited about the things of God. I get it. I'm passionate about worship. I'm passionate about the Word. I'm passionate about prayer. I'm passionate about worship. Y'all, I'm passionate about authority in my life. Because I know that when you're rightly related to authority, that God has ordained all authority, that God will move heaven and hell in order to prove that He had it all under control all along. And all we had to do was just trust Him in the midst of the storm. Trust Him in the midst of the wave. Trust Him in the midst of the ripples. And understand that He's going to speak to us. God works through people, human beings. It was God's plan to send a man to provide salvation for us. That's Jesus. God is still working through people today. His plan has not changed. During the course of your life, the names will change, the faces will change, the positions may change, but God's plan is still the same, and God has never changed. He does not change. Those who are proud always have trouble with authority. Those who have pride in their lives always have trouble with authority. I was talking with my mother on the phone a couple of days ago, and she was saying to me that one of the greatest, or some of the greatest moments in her life was when people would say to her how awesome her children were. And she said to me that there was a time when they were at my sister's graduation. My sister was the youngest of the four of us. And she said there was a teacher, Mr. Clymer, who came up to she and my father and said, "I want to shake your hand." He said, "I have taught all four of your children." He said, "None of them super excelled in anything. But," he said, "you had four of the most behaved, well-behaved children that this school has ever had." And Mama said there was no prouder moment in she or my father's life. And I said, "You know, it's amazing. I dream of saying that about my mother." And you know what I believe that is? It's the blessing of the generation of understanding how to relate to authority and finding that my children, I understand authority. Now, there were some things about authority with my father that are crosswise because he ruled out of fear. And some of that's not good. But I took what I thought was negative of the fear, and I tried to rule my children strong that I was. And I would always check myself before I dealt with them and say, "Now, are you dealing with them out of anger? Or are you dealing with them out of love?" And sometimes I have to say, "Y'all sit right there. I'll be back in a little bit." And I would go away and walk or pray or sing or do something before I come back and deal with them, because I didn't want to deal with them, because I didn't want them to fear me with an ungodly fear. I wanted them to have reverential fear. I wanted them to know that if they did wrong, Daddy was going to do, that there were repercussions, that for every action there is an opposite and equal reaction, that they were going to get a reaction to their actions. So, but I believe that if we'll understand authority, that thing will flow, and we'll see it work in our life, and we'll see it work in our children's life. Now I can see it work in a grandchild's life. Jesus carries it. I don't think that happens, but anyway. It works. Those who are proud always have trouble with authority. We've all been around people who cannot submit to anybody for any reason. We've all been around those people who know everything. You can't teach them anything. You can't say anything to them. They already know more than everybody else. And even if they don't know more, they'll act like they know more and rise up that attitude, and which we'll get to this in just a second, which is called the spirit of witchcraft. With the spirit of witchcraft, the Word says that the sin of rebellion, that's in these notes, is as the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That word witchcraft means control through manipulation and intimidation. Control through manipulation and intimidation. That's witchcraft. Anybody, any authority that tries to lord over us through manipulation and intimidation are operating in what the Bible says is witchcraft. And that's ungodly. And it won't work. If you're godly, and the thing about trust, if you're under a boss who controls through manipulation and intimidation, and there was a time when it was taught across the board, there was a time, a couple generations ago, that the way you dealt with your employees was you were mean to them. You always told them what they did wrong. You intimidated them. You showed them who was boss. But now teaching is coming out of teachers who are teaching employees. Let me teach you how to do your job by giving you an example of how to do it right. Not lording over them and saying, you better get it right or you're out of here. There's a difference changing. And that was a generational thing. My father lived in that generation that he could not praise. He could not say, you did it right. There was never any, you did good, you did well. It was always, well, you could have done better. Yeah, that was good, but you should have been better. That's control, that intimidation and the manipulation. And it is a sin of respect. And it works. Anything but what God wants in it. Pride comes before a fall. Lucifer found this out to be true firsthand. Humility comes before honor. Jesus found this out to be true. And Jesus is our example. Man, they were spitting in his face. How many Christians do you know say, spit in my face and watch what I do? They cursed him. How many Christians we know say, throw a curse my way, see what's going to come back your way? They put a crown of thorns upon his head. Blood was flowing. And Jesus did not mock them. Jesus did not come against them. Jesus humbled himself. And you know why he did? Because he knew somebody else had greater authority than the ones who were doing what they were doing to him. And when he humbled himself, the plan of God unfolded. And because of what Jesus humbled himself in the midst of ungodly authority. And y'all, it's like Pastor was saying, looking at what's going on in the world right now. It's bad, but it's all part of the plan. Mm-hmm. And if we trust the great authority, then we're not moved by what's going on. We're not moved by $5 a gallon for gas. We're not moved by what's going on in this world. Because we know that we're under an umbrella of protection. That we have protection. That we are people rightly submitted to authority. Do you understand now why I'm saying I can get excited about this? Because there is protection beyond anything we could ever know. Because we're rightly related to authority. First Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. How? Because both rebellion and witchcraft open you to the dominion and the will of Satan. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee for being king. Many people are trying to live for God and obey God, and they have never submitted themselves to any spiritual authority or delegated authority. Delegated authorities are God's representatives in this earth. There are no perfect, flawless representatives in existence. That's good to know. It's important to know. However, that's not our problem. Our responsibility is to stay submitted where in our heart attitude. And to obey unless they're telling us to do something immoral, illegal, or unscriptural. The highest form of authority in our lives is God's Word. 1 Peter 2:13, 23 and 25 out of the Amplified. Look at this. Be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to bring vengeance, punishment, or justice, that's our judges, to those who do wrong and to encourage those who do good service. For it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, or gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Live as free people, yet without imploring your freedom as a pretext for wickedness, but live at all times as servants of God. Show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God. Honor the emperor. To our case, honor our president. You know, there's a lot of talk out there in a lot of places where we joke and we say things and we point fingers and we say, well, if he wasn't there, it would be different. If this was going on, it would be different. And y'all, if we don't honor our authorities, we open the door for the enemy. We've got to be careful. You who are household servants, this is talking to right now, this talks to those who are employees. Be submissive to your master with all proper respect, not only to those who are kind and considerate and reasonable, but those who are surly, overbearing, unjust, and crooked. For one is regarded favorably, is approved, acceptable, and thankworthy, if, as in the sight of God, he endures the pain of unjust suffering. After all, what kind of glory is there in it, if when you do wrong or punish for it, you take it patiently? But if you bear patiently with suffering with results, when you do right, and that is undeserved, it is acceptable and pleasing to God. We're simply the same there is, when you do right, and maybe it's not seen or appreciated, or it's even mocked or used against you, and you trust it to God, there's greater favor for you. When we submit who we are, and maybe we've got a boss that is ungodly and treats us wrong, or someone takes credit for something we've done. I had that happen in the church on staff with another staff member who began to try to say that some of the things that were happening were his doings and he had nothing to do with it. And I would sit back and watch and go, you weren't even there. They kept my mouth shut and trusted God. And ultimately my pastor came to me and he said, "You ain't fooling nobody." I didn't have to say a word to him. "You ain't fooling nobody." He said, "We know what spirit that is." And he said, "Look at his just rewards." And ultimately he did. It's trusting that even when you've done well and somebody's not noticing, somebody else has taken the glory of it. But see, the truth of the matter is, if you and I do something as unto the Lord, and then we look to man to be pleased in us, we have our reward. But if we do what we're doing as unto the Lord, and we look to him, our covering, our ultimate authority for our reward, it's so much greater than what man can offer, we're not moved when man don't see it. And it all boils down to the heart attitude. The first sermon that started this series. The heart attitude is, where is my heart in this? Am I submitted to authority in a way that I trust God above everybody and everything else? Because if I am, I'll see the results of heaven. Glory. That's good stuff. It don't help y'all, it helps me. Listen, we're not quit. For even to this you were called, it is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. He was guilty of no sin. Neither was deceit or guile ever found in his lips. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insults in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. For you were going astray like so many sheep, but now have come back to the shepherd and the guardian, the bishop of your souls. It boils down to this. Is God big enough for you, even when your authorities treat you wrong, even when they miss it, even when they blow it, even when they're unfair? Or is God only big enough when everything is going just like, exactly as you plan, and everyone is doing things just as you would? The truth is, how big is your God? When I begin to grasp the reality of spiritual authority, it changed my life. The things I learned about faith began to fall into place. The things I learned about the Holy Spirit began to fall into place. The things I learned about worship began to fall into place. Because you can worship. The things I learned about the Word began to fall into place. You can know the Word. You can praise and worship. You can know faith. You can do all these things. But if you're not rightly submitted to God, the heart attitude will mess up everything. When you get yourself right under authority,
it releases the power of God on behalf of every avenue and every aspect of our life. And against us, there is no law. Nothing like that. We have a friend that's been unjustly prosecuted, that he was told that he was homesick and it was flu. He went to Harris Teeter to go get some soup because he was sick and he thought it'd make him feel better. He got in his car and drove home. When he got home a little while later, his telephone rang. I tell this phone changing. Phone rang. He answered the phone. So-and-so, this is Officer So-and-so. I'd like to talk to you about the hit and run you were just involved in. He said, what hit and run? At Harris Teeter. He said, I wasn't involved in the hit and run. Yes, you were. There were witnesses. Matter of fact, one of the witnesses to his alleged hit and run, which didn't happen, is a lady who is part of the treasury of his church, who happens to know he is a doctor and has a lot of money. And this man's car got hit, but not by this doctor's car. But this lady and this man devised a plan to say that his car did it and to go after him. Well, it all came out that the man and all, that it wasn't right. And the insurance dropped it. Or took care of it. And it didn't go any further. But the police officer has a personal vendetta against this man. And he's prosecuting him. And they're going to court. And the man's car was never involved in an accident. I've been praying for him. And you, and my word to him is you watch and see. When you don't do wrong, and authorities are coming against you, if you'll trust the ultimate authority, you'll see yourself vindicated in a way that will blow their minds. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world, y'all. And the ultimate question that we have to ask in every situation is, how big is my God? How big is my God? Now, in my stomach, it makes me sick to think that this poor man is going through this torture because somebody knew he had money, and somebody ran into this man's car, and they saw the doctor going out of the parking lot and said, let's blame it on him. There's not a scratch on his car. The police report says there's $500 worth of damage on his car. There's not a scratch on his car. The police never even saw his car. There's some unjust stuff going on out there. The question to us is, how big is your God? Where is your trust? Did you know, the truth of the matter is, if they go to court and he loses, God's still bigger. And the story's not over till God has spoken. The story's not over till God has spoken. But you see, if we're not under the umbrella of protection, then all we have to deal with things like this is fear. Not faith. When you're rightly related and you're rightly in a place, then you have faith. God, if they kill me, then I'm going to be with you. So the ultimate destruction, still I win. If they take everything I've got, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Y'all, my life in the last 10 years has been nothing but evidence of the provision of God. I've never lacked. Never lacked. Never lacked. And in the natural, I shouldn't have anything. But God has taken care of me. There are times when I say, why do you bless me so much? I have people who say to me, you must be God's favorite. And I say, I am. I am. But you know what? I think it goes back to, I've been meditating on this. I think it goes back to about almost 30 years ago when I was laying with my head on the pillow. And I was listening to Phil Driscoll sing a song. And I fell in love with Jesus Christ. I fell in love with Jesus Christ. I remember I said, I love you, Lord, and I realize that those just don't work. But there was a heart. There was a change. I've never been the same. And I began to seek Him. Y'all, I was in church 6 nights a week. I read the Bible inside and out. I prayed. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, wake myself up, praying in the Spirit. I began a quest for Him that has nothing to do with who I am today. It has all to do with who He is. I began a quest, and He said, let me take you on a journey. You know, I've been on a journey, and there have been some nasty parts of this journey, but one thing I can stand here and say without any doubt is that my God is faithful. My God is faithful. I've messed up. I've been unfaithful to Him. But He never changed His ways to me. He's been so faithful. And I'm telling you, when you get this understanding of spiritual authority, it will change every aspect of your life. I believe that understanding dealt with depression. There are times I still have to deal with that spirit of depression trying to come my way. But it's never been like it used to be before I started understanding that I am a man under authority. When I came to church here, I wanted to know who this pastor was. I sat under that man 5 minutes and I went, we're in the right spot. We're in the right spot. Because He's a man that has an authority that He can trust. And His authority has the mind of God, has the ear of God, and has an ear to God. So with that, I'm trusting. And I know that He has a mind of God, has an ear to God. But even when He doesn't understand, He has somebody of authority that He can go through and go to. It makes it work for me.
Well, I would say, we'll kind of conclude with that, because I'm coming from the opposite end. My father has taught me about spiritual authority my entire life. And so it has always been a premise that I understood, didn't always like it in its implementation, okay? Because spiritual authorities told me to do things that I didn't think were right or that I wanted to do. But I did them anyway, and I cannot, even though I could stand here, well, let me say it this way. Although I've had a very good understanding of spiritual authority my entire life, I cannot tell you one time I do not have not one example when I did what spiritual authority told me to do and it turned out wrong. Now I could stand here and tell you 100 stories where spiritual authority told me to do things and it turned out right. But I cannot tell you not one example where things turned out wrong. Not one. In fact, this morning as I was thinking about this, and I'll just share just a couple things real quick and then we'll shut this down. I remember a few years ago, do y'all remember the revival that used to be going on in Pensacola? There was a Pensacola before. There was one in Pensacola, but this wasn't. No. It's the one where the guy got wound up having an affair with his Tampa. Lakeland, Florida revival. When that thing was in its full swing and people were just by the thousands going down there for that revival. I was talking to my pastor one day and we were talking about something else and all of a sudden he said to me, oh, by the way, are you familiar with the Lakeland revival? And I said, well, I've heard something about it. He said, I don't want you to be involved in that. He said, there are some of us who don't necessarily think that that's the God. Now, 9 out of 10 people would have said to him, well, what's going on? You know what? I don't care. My authority said to me, don't get involved. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed right there. And I said to him, okay. And we moved on to another subject. I never got involved. The whole thing fell apart. It obviously was not what it appeared to be. The whole thing fell, and not passing judgment anybody, I'm just saying. He told me not to get involved. I didn't even ask him why. It's like, okay, fine. You know, you're the boss. You know, you tell me not to be involved. I'm not going to be involved. The whole thing fell apart, and I'm safely out here Not in there where when things start falling, I can hit in the head. Okay? Because I just simply trusted that what he said to me was the truth. But here's the other thing I want to say about what you said. Let's suppose he'd been wrong. God didn't hold me responsible for that.
Right.
See? Because God says your job is to do what you're told. Now, if what you're told is right, you're safe. If what you're told is wrong, I'll take that up with the person who told it to you. See? And I remember one of the biggest challenges I ever had in my life was when I was 30 years old and I was going to come off the, I've been involved in the traveling ministry for almost 12 years and fighting the last 5 of those years from the time I was 25 to the time I was 30. I was in a full-time music traveling ministry for 5 years. And when I started to come off the road and start a church in Monroe, all of my authorities said yes, except for my dad. And I was like, well, sorry, God. I don't care what kind of plans you've got. I don't care what's going on. Until my dad says it's okay. It doesn't make any difference that I was submitted to a group of 3, and 2 of them said okay, and 1 of them said no. Doesn't make any difference. No, 1 of them said no, that's enough. Not gonna do it. And then, I was out mowing my grass. One day, I'll never forget it, as long as I live, over there on Arbordale Avenue. I'm over there mowing my grass, I'm mowing the grass in the front yard. I remember like it happened yesterday. And God spoke to me and said, your father cannot tell you yes. Because he knows that to do so is to throw you into the fire. And he loves you too much to do that. And I went to my daddy and I said, I believe I've heard from God. And I believe you can't tell me no, and this is why. And tears strolled down his face, run down his face. And he looked at me and he said, that's right. And I said to him, will you bless me in going anyway? And he said, yes, I will. And off I went. But I wasn't going to move until I heard it's time to move. When Pastor Mike used to be my pastor, and Pastor Jim came to see me, working at Oakwood Homes in Albemarle, and we'd moved that lot over there off of 52, moved that whole lot over there on the other side of town. Daddy and I were standing out there next to that white plastic fence out there on what used to be that trailer lot out there. And Daddy said to me, son, I'm getting ready to retire. And I believe God wants you to come and be the pastor when I retire. And I said, well, Daddy, I'm sorry, but I'll have to talk to my pastor about that. Because I'm not going to make a move. But the authorities say it's okay. And see, there are times when you do move from one authority to a different authority. But when you move from one authority to a different authority, you move with your authority blessing your move.
Right. Or you don't go.
Or you don't go. That's exactly right. Because when you do go anyway, that is rebellion. It opens up your life for the devil to wreak havoc in your life. So I went to my pastor, which was Pastor Mike at that time, and I said to him, this is what we think God wants us to do. He said, I believe that's what God wants you to do, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring you before the church. I'm going to call my elders up. We're all going to lay hands on you, and we're going to send you out blessed. I said, okay. And that's what we did. I started coming to Lamplight. Been here ever since. I could stand here for another hour and get story after story after story after story where every time I was protected, and not to say I haven't been mistakes, not to say there haven't been some rough spots, okay? Not to say there haven't been some rough spots even when I was doing what I was told. See, that Jesus compelled them to get on the boat. I mean, they looked up, they saw the storm, they knew the waters were going to be rough, but Jesus said, I want you to go anyway. See, that's the part of Jesus that we as American Christians can't quite get in our heads. Sometimes Jesus will put you on a rough boat and you will throw up to where you feel like your toes are about to come out through your mouth. Okay? But sometimes he'll put you on that boat anyway. Why? Because there's a bigger picture. You'll never see him walk on the water unless you're on a boat that's about to sink. And we forget that part. We forget that you got to be on a boat about to sink before you can see him walk on the water. You got to be in a storm in order to experience him saying, peace to the storm, and the whole thing doesn't come to a dead end. You've got to be dead in order to be raised from the dead. You've got to be sick in order to get healed. But somehow or another, we forget all of that. We just want this cosmic candy cowboy to come and fulfill the American dream. And Jesus, bless our hearts, is not white and not American. He was that an astounding revelation. He's God. Exactly who he is. And he's about doing things his way because he is God. We have talked about this for the 10 years that I've been here, but I've wondered, I know we've talked, but the question is, are we listening? And the answer is, no, we're not. Because in the 10 years that we've been here, people have come and gone, and come and gone, and I'm not going to call any names, but there right now are ruined lives. Ruined lives. Because people made a choice to not submit themselves to authority. Ruined lives. One person came back and said to me, I am ashamed of myself. You ever want those words to fall across your lips? I don't want to fall across mine either. I have had them fall across mine. I would rather not repeat that if I can help it. And the safest place we can be is to be under spiritual authority. Anybody got a question? We're grateful to you, God, that you give us authorities. We're grateful that you, who is all authority, delegate your authority. We thank you, God, for the protection and in the wisdom of you protecting us. We give you honor and glory today. We thank you for your life and your love to us. And we bless you in Jesus' name.